Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. That was a great way to cap off. Well, there's still one game left to play
Jay's
in
vote.
Week one, but that was a great late game. At least a great performance by the L.A. Rams. Monday Night Football Megacast is tonight. Ravens at Raiders. Coverage on ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, and the ESPN app. Everyone was watching in L.A. as Matthew Stafford made his Rams debut. Now, I thought that there was a lot of pressure actually on McVay. Because, yeah, all of a sudden I got a frog in my throat.
You need some water?
No, I'm good.
You see, well, that's what because, you get for teasing me earlier.
I know. It's contagious. You take a guy number one overall. He takes you to a Super Bowl. He makes two Pro Bowls. You trade him plus two ones and a three. Boy, that new guy you bring better be a baller.
But that's why he's the coach and we're not. Yeah. He saw something that we didn't see.
He saw it in Cabo, in the jacuzzi.
Stafford always had that crazy top
what,
five
that's
arm
what,
talent.
That's what
right?
happened.
I know it happened.
It just sounds awkward. I know.
Cabo, in the jacuzzi, or whatever the case is.
So
his football IQ really just won me over in the jacuzzi in Cabo.
321 passing yards, three passing touchdowns, no interceptions. According to Elias, Stafford is the first player in NFL history to win his team debut while passing for 300 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions. Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Key, what's your takeaway from the debut?
I mean, what else are you going to say? You said everything, right? I mean, it's like, what? There's nothing really to say. He did exactly what they got him for.
But what? Okay, but like, right. It's like, those are the stats, but what?
No, I mean, I'm just saying,
eyeball.
I'm just like, I didn't expect for him to play as well as he did. But I also understand that Sean McVay is a quarterback guy who knows what he's doing and he knows what he wants in his quarterback. That's why he moved on from Goff and brought in Stafford, because he figured if I can surround him with Jefferson and Kupp and Woodsy and Higbee and give him a running game and protect him, we got a chance to be special here and not just get to the Super Bowl, but maybe win the Super Bowl. Now, they started off on the right foot last night against Chicago. I didn't think Chicago's defense played nearly as well as we anticipated with all the hype. Chicago's D, Chicago, Khalil Mack, blah, blah, blah. They took advantage of them. And they did it in such a way that it just looked so damn easy that Detroit should be kicking themselves right now for all the years that they wasted on Matthew Stafford.
I mean, Jay, quiet as kept. That Detroit streak of not winning a playoff game now in like 60-something, it's crazy. Some 60-something years, they have – it's unbelievable. And now their quarterback is in L.A. What were your thoughts about Stafford's debut?
I just sat there and thought that, you know, I wonder how limited Sean McVay actually felt with his playbook with Jared Goff, right, because of the inconsistency that he had down the field, Key. Whereas last night, I'm curious to see how much more creative – that playbook would get because of the IQ of Stafford, because of the arm of Stafford. Even that one where he rolled out to the right, kind of turned around. I forget who he hit for like a, it was like a 60-yard pass. It was a bomb of a pass. It was just incredible to watch. Why are you laughing?
Go, man.
You always fooling around, man. Just like the creativeness that he has. He hit Van Jefferson, obviously, with that pass. But I think just that aspect of the offense, I think, has a higher ceiling with a guy like Matthew Stafford
and
Jared Goff.
And you probably are correct in terms of a higher ceiling and the minimizing the playbook with Jared Goff. Remember early in Jared Goff's career, Max, because you were in L.A. No, you were here. Yeah, but early in his career, they had to basically put training wheels on Jared Goff early on. And then when they kind of took off the training wheels, you could see where he struggled at times. So maybe that's the reason that Sean McVay decided to move on. What I mean by training wheels, it was almost like a college situation, Jay. They would get underneath the center. Jared Goff would have to turn to Sean McVay, and he would give him all the stuff, and then they go back underneath the center.
You remember what they were saying back then about Jared Goff and learning the playbook and all that stuff.
A cow guy, by the way.
Yeah, it was not – the rumors around that time were not good.
Yeah, I know what that was. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Right, all right. Well, we'll talk offline.
We've alluded to that multiple times.
Look, I'll say this. You have a guy in Goff, right, when McVay had him about two-thirds of the way through that season – that they went to the Super Bowl. Goff was spoken about as like, is he an MVP candidate? If McVay can do that with Goff, right? Because he had Gurley, I get it. And the outside zone blocking and Robert Woods can block for a receiver and they could do all these kind of things.
I love Robert Woods.
What would he be doing with, like, they don't even have Cam Akers, right? Yeah. Like, that's a shame. But what he can do with Matt Stafford, you got to think is going to be better than what he could do with Goff. You would think?
And that's why he made the decision to move on from him. And I killed him because of that. Because, again, I'm a strong believer in fixing it if it's broke. And I didn't think
Coaching it up.
But to Sean McVay's credit, he knows more about what his quarterback should be doing than I do. And I just felt like you got rid, much like you mentioned a minute ago, you gave up all the ones, all because 3 years ago, you gave this dude $100 million plus dollars. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like 2 years later, you're like, man, get this dude away from me. He's getting ready to get me fired. And you moved on from him to go get Matthew Stafford, who hadn't won anything in Detroit, 0-3 lifetime in the playoffs. But when you look at Detroit, outside of Megatron, what else did they have?
What was Sean McVay's thoughts? What did Coach think about the dude that they moved mountains to get about Stafford's debut? Here's Coach.
I think it was just his steady demeanor throughout the course of the game. Just like you had hoped you had, you know, would see that you had seen in practice and that you had seen from afar. But I think the second drive, their first drive of the second half was what I thought was the most impressive. But now I'm thinking about what an unbelievable job he did progressing, finding Robert Woods on the last touchdown. So there was multiple things, but I think the overall game management and I think the expectation, you know, you could just see there was a look in his eye. He had confidence in his teammates. He expected to play well. He did a great job. It's hard to say that there was one thing, Jim. I loved everything that he did tonight.
So you heard what Key had to say about the situation. You heard Coach now, Jay. What do you think?
I mean, we're in a honeymoon phase. I like the honeymoon phase.
Really is a honeymoon phase.
I mean, it's beautiful, right? When things first get kicked off and he really translates how I speak to my team on the field. He leads. You know, a guy that just does things the right way. Key has a great arm, goes through the progressions. I just want to see it when the waters get a little hot.
But he also just looks right to me.
Yeah.
Like, he looks right in the uniform. He just looks right. He's got the California tan going. He didn't have a California tan going to Detroit. He's got the California tan. He just looks like a quarterback now. He didn't look like a quarterback to me in Detroit. He just looked like a guy playing underneath center. You could see on the half row throwback on Jefferson deep cross, you could tell he set up perfectly. He had confidence. Everything Sean said, as I'm watching the clips, I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah. He's one of those dudes that look right.
It's obvious that if they don't make the playoffs, it's a disaster.
Well,
right?
They don't make the playoffs.
So they got to make the playoffs. The real pressure for me with McVay and Stafford, especially Stafford, starts when the playoffs start. I mean, that is going to say a lot about the situation.
What is division is loaded, though.
Okay, that's where I want to go. So,
division is
considering
loaded.
Division's 4-0 this weekend.
Can you guys explain to me why can't four teams from the division make it again?
No, they can't.
Who's going to not make the playoffs in this division?
I personally think it's going to be Arizona. But that's just
That's the popular pick to come in fourth, right?
Yeah, but a fourth,
I don't know.
But a 10-win fourth, though, like that type of deal.
Right. Especially with 17
10 and 7,
games.
That sort of deal, and they won't make it. It's not that they're going to be bad. It's just that they won't make the playoffs. They have a winning record but won't make the playoffs.
Too many other good teams.
Too many
in the
other
division.
Good teams.
Jay, you think that – I mean, is it possible for four teams to make the playoffs from the same division?
Yes, I am hating on Arizona.
No, I mean, I already knew that was going to be the fact. I just watching that division in general, that's going to be a monster of a division. I mean, just with the Rams and the way the 49ers played the other day, their defense looked good. The Rams' defense, Jalen Ramsey was all over the damn place last night with Aaron Donald.
They're protecting Russell Wilson. And by the way, like, Jamal Adams didn't really have to do anything yesterday. Like, their offense looks better in Seattle. Their defense looks better. Russell Wilson's balling out of control, as always. Arizona, you may have had the offensive and defensive player of the week just now in Arizona, both sides of the ball. We're talking about the Rams. This is – San Francisco's a monster. This is the – it's the opposite of the NFC East.
Yeah, San Francisco, they got to get their secondary. They got a young secondary. Those guys are falling like flies. So got to kind of get that teed up. They went out and got Josh Norman this past week, so to bring him some veteran leadership in that secondary. If they can get the secondary together, San Francisco going to be a beast too.
Do you think Russell Wilson will sustain this level of play throughout the course of the season? Because it feels like every year he starts off hot and then he kind of fizzles.
I'll say this about Russell Wilson. We're going on, I would say, year 6 now. where if the MVP wasn't year by year, if you had to give the MVP for the regular season over a five-year period, he's the most valuable player in the NFL over a five-year regular season period.
He gets it this year, though.
He's excellent. Like,
he said that last year.
No, we thought he was going to get it, and they faded. But I think
they couldn't protect
with everything that they changed, and everything, they got a better defense, like Max saying, their offense is much better.
Waldron, I mean, look.
I think that they will sustain what he's doing, and he'll get the sympathy vote this year.
They ran the play action so many times last night. I mean, it was more than I've seen him run it last year altogether.
I think Russell Wilson's an interesting, like, when you talk about sympathy vote, when a dude has this high sustained level of excellence year in and year out, but there's no one year where you could say he's the guy, eventually people want to give it to him.
Yeah, because and he's never received one single vote in his NFL career.
It's insane.
Damn. Hey, man. I'm just a guy delivering news, not making it.
So, Key's here hating on Arizona again. You heard that.
Hey, that wasn't me.
We have someone who has something to say about
that.
That
was somebody who stole my
Key.
Voice.
John Gambadoro from Arizona Sports 98.7, once again, has something to say to you. Keyshawn Johnson.
Oh, Keyshawn. What a bad week for you, my friend. When are you going to learn? It was bad enough that USC got clobbered, but then the Arizona Cardinals, they destroyed the Tennessee Titans on the road, and your boy Kyler Murray could not be stopped. You know that. Four touchdowns passing, another touchdown running, and they go on the road in a hostile environment, and they win 38-13. Are you kidding me? Didn't you lose $1,000 to me last year? $1,000 to charity because you didn't believe in Kyler Murray? He's going to be the next quarterback to get $40 million. Mark it down. And the Arizona Cardinals are going to go to the playoffs. Man, you were watching that game, and they were just killing time. I thought I was watching Stanford and USC all over again. When will you learn? Don't bet against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. He's legit. They're legit. You need to learn your lesson.
What you got to say for yourself, Key?
Yeah, well, first of all, it wasn't me that said that. It was somebody else. They stole my voice. So
I see. Jay, man, that's wrong. Why do you set your man up?
It happens from time to time.
Happened
to me. Happened to Key.
I think Arizona is a good football team. I think they're in a tough division. I don't believe that they'll make the playoffs. And Kyler Murray's fine. I don't have a problem
with
Kyler
Murray. One thing we all have to admit.
The offense. USC runs that garbage. I hate it.
What do you hate so much about it? What's wrong with the air raid?
I just hate it. Run the ball. Have some balance.
Not too imbalanced. One thing we all have to admit, though, is Cliff Kingsbury has some good taste in houses, boy. Remember that? Remember during the draft, the virtual draft? Ooh, where's that crib? He's got to do – I got to see the inside tour.
Yeah, he flexed on everybody.
But no doubt.
He flexed on everybody, but then Jerry Jones one-upped him. He pulled out the big 300-foot yacht.
I mean, come on, it's Jerry Jones.
Jerry, man, come on.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, including – the great Lewis Riddick in 20 minutes. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What's your biggest overreaction from week one? Jay, let's start with you real quick. Let's whip this around so we can show everyone what we mean by a quick overreaction. Your quick overreaction.
Daniel Jones will not finish the season with the Giants. I don't think he's going to be healthy.
Oh,
I don't think he's going to be healthy.
You had Kyler Murray winning MVP in the last hour. Stay with
it.
No.
A different way.
What? Hold on. Let's do another one. Daniel Jones won't stay healthy. Yeah.
I just feel like he's going to be running for his life. I mean, it's going to be the same as what we see with Zach Wilson.
Listen, he had a bad
leg
last year.
He's injury prone. I mean, it's one of these things that, as a concerned Giants fan, I always get worried about it, especially when I see him. He hasn't learned the lesson yet to slide.
Well, it's only year 11, so, you know.
Just slide, man. Like, he did it the rest of the game. I need you to do that in real time. When the quick fiber is key, they need to chime in. Attach to the brain, slide.
He's pretty smart. I would say the Houston Texans are going to win the division without Deshaun Watson at quarterback and go to the playoffs.
Why?
Tyrod Taylor. And that division is Tennessee, Indy, and Jacksonville. And we saw all three of them take L's, even though Jacksonville played Houston. But Tyrod Taylor, it's his time, right? He's already been run out of Buffalo. They tried to bench him in Buffalo and then realize, well, we can't play with the Peterman, who shouldn't even be in the NFL as far as I'm concerned. Then he goes to Cleveland, loses his job to Baker Mayfield, goes out to Los Angeles to the Chargers, get a little punctured wound going there in the lung, And then he moves on to Houston.
Could you imagine your Tyrod Taylor, everything you just mentioned, then like, whoops, we punctured your lung. What?
Yeah, it's just, you know.
And then it turns out Dan Marino's waiting on the bench, right? Like, it's unbelievable. So I hear you, by the way. The Colts, Carson Wentz got to show that a team wants to play for him, by the way, because they look pretty good both sides of the ball. In the preseason, you thought, and Tennessee doesn't have a defense. That's an interesting overreaction. You know, my overreaction is if Patrick Mahomes never took another snap, he would be a Hall of Famer right now. The reason I say that is if you try to tell, by the kind of BS media guy type of definition of the Hall of Fame, one of them is, try to tell the story of that era and leave that dude's name out. You cannot talk about the last 3 years of the NFL without talking about Patrick Mahomes. And there's some dudes, like Sandy Koufax in baseball for the Dodgers. He really only had 4 years in his prime. But you know what? Those 4 years were different. This dude, Mahomes, is different. I'd say if you know, I'd vote for him for the Hall of Fame if I had a vote right now. Overreaction.
Any, okay. No, I'm just thinking. I'm thinking. Four years.
Well, he's had three now. 3 years in a game.
Yeah, three years in a game.
Two Super Bowls. One Super Bowl championship.
Three in AFC championship games. Hmm. I mean,
MVP.
It's just too short.
Too short.
Too short, right? If he needs, if he maybe
another year and a half.
Two, maybe two. You start to make that argument. You start to say, well, 5 years, look what he's done. Like, you start to get into that. Because a lot of the guys that are being voted in right now, you know, they've played at least 8, 10, 11 years, you know.
Terrell Davis was like, you know, it's too, like,
TD,
too short.
TD was 8 years, I think. Yeah. 7 or 8 years.
And back then, a running back meant a lot more than now.
Exactly. Yeah. And people frowned upon him being a Hall of Famer based on the time.
Took a minute, though, to get him in.
Yeah, it took a minute to get him in. So, but Patrick Mahomes, you don't have to worry about him. He's around for another 15 years.
All right.
Now imagine
calls,
what type of records he's going to be 15 years from now.
I mean, we're picking him to get to the Super Bowl this year, right?
What's nuts to me is I think about certain players. It's like LeBron is – Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson had a baby. It's LeBron James or you know, Westbrook is Kobe and AI combined equals like Westbrook, right? Something like that. I look at Mahomes. It's like the best of Aaron Rodgers plus the best of Brett Favre. But take away the bad stuff. Like Aaron Rodgers sometimes rubs people the wrong way. Not Mahomes. Brett Favre doesn't take care of the football. That's not Mahomes' problem. He has like the best of their qualities rolled up into one dude. Mm.
But see, he also got a little Joe Montana in him, too.
Some Montana, too?
Because he's cool. He just, like,
under
never,
pressure.
Never flinches at all. Jeez.
Let's get to some calls.
I couldn't have him.
On the Dr. Pepper call-in line, some overreactions from the fans, guys. Max and Cincy, what's your overreaction?
So I'm just curious if you could think. I know the Browns, I can't believe I'm saying this as a Bengals fan, but the Browns actually looked pretty good even though they lost. My Bengals took care of business and probably the game of the day that nobody's talking about. The Steelers beat the Bills. If the Ravens win tonight, they're 3-1. The NFC West is at 4-0. Do you think one of those two divisions could send four to the playoffs, like you were saying earlier, Max?
What do you think about AFC South, AFC North? Right?
I don't think more likely 3 than 4.
Right, and it's the his Bengals that is probably the odd man out there.
Maybe.
You think the Bengals could make a playoff run this year?
No, man.
I don't think so either.
I don't know.
But I think Browns, Ravens, and Steelers are all live.
I got to see what the Ravens look like against the Raiders tonight because they're out in
a lot
Vegas.
Of injuries.
So that, that's what I'm going to have to ask Lewis. Are you coming in or are you just waking up? Which one?
that's real. Tony Kornheiser, I was once supposed to be on his radio show, and he actually saved this tape and played it on the air. And I was like, I was in Vegas covering some fight. I don't know, in my 20s or maybe early 30s. Tony, there's this, and there's your radio show. Something had to give, and it was your radio show. Right? And he would actually play that tape on the air. Vegas is something different, man. You're not going to get the same performance out of Vegas.
It'll be interesting to see tonight what Baltimore looks like against this retool Raiders defense. And Baltimore's missing some key components on the offensive side of the ball, both in the running game as well as in the passing game.
Get a chance to see Le'Veon Bell, though.
Is he active? I don't know if he's active or not. I haven't looked at the chart.
He should be.
They brought in every name brand running back from 5 years ago.
He should be.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's active or not. They just put him on the practice squad, and then they got to activate him and bring him up.
Josh in Columbus, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. What's your overreaction after week one?
All right, guys. So I got to say, you know, from Columbus, big Urban Meyer fan, but, you know, the money lines were really close. But the one thing I told my buddy who actually bet on them, do not take the Chargers at all. Key, I heard what you said. I think you're a little off with the Texans. I think the Texans are still bad. Tyrod really hasn't shown anything. The Jaguars are just that bad. Urban's not going to get it done in this league. You know, love him. He did great things at Ohio State, but I'm sorry. It's just not going
to
happen.
Hey, man, that's why it's an overreaction. I don't think Houston, Texas is going to the playoffs. Not at all. I don't think that. No, there's no way. And I think Indy will get it turned around, and I think Tennessee will hang around all year long because they got that dude in the backfield with the dreads that's really, really big that runs the ball very, 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 very hard.
Can I ask you guys a question? Like, what do people expect from Urban Meyer? I know there's going to be a lot of – and I understand he's had a couple rocky road to kind of kick things off. But everybody's like, oh, he's going to be out of the league. Like, it seems like there's a lot of hate coming his way early.
No.
Like, what would have been realistic for people not to fire Urban Meyer?
No, I think that's a good point, Key. Like,
so why would they fire him?
No. In other words, how could you judge him yet? You can't really judge him yet.
He has the Jaguars. You know what I mean?
But it's Urban Meyer, and based on his history, quitting and on teams and deciding to step down, you know, double talking one side of the mouth.
But Key, that's true when they hired him, right? As soon as they hire him. I think it's a good point. Like, what could have possibly happened between then and now where it would be much different? It's a bad team, young quarterback.
Yeah,
you know?
But you got to think about some of the stuff that he did. He bring in the Chris Doering dude, the weightlifting strength coach from Iowa.
Big strike.
He brings in Tim Tebow, which people are like,
strike two.
But he cut him.
No, I understand that, but that's all that sort of stuff.
In other words, he comes in with baggage, and then he does stuff highlight.
What happened at Ohio State, the things that took place at Florida, I mean, all of that. So it's like they're not giving him the benefit of the doubt. He is now feeling how players feel when they got a lot of stuff swimming around them. Hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Like, that's how players are treated by fans. And that's how people are treating him now. Now it's like he's getting his head kicked in, because when was the last time he really, over a course of a season, has been just beat week in and week out? That takes a toll on coaches. And with you're him and you got 17 games and all of a sudden you only win in three of them, you're like, man, I don't want to do this
anymore. When you come in with that baggage and you right away, I'm going to do it my way. And that way doesn't work a lot. You don't have the benefit of the doubt. But I agree with you, Jay. Based on the results, I'm not judging anything yet. It's way too early. By the way, we mentioned the Monday night megacast, and we've got Lewis Riddick to tell us how important one game is to one head coach tonight. That's after Jay has this from DraftKings.
It's good to see the teams back out on the gridiron. Lucky for us, that was just week one. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, is putting you in the center of the action for week two. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit by signing up using code KJM. Get in on all the action now. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings app now and use code KJM. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter code KJM to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code KJM, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Every year we decide that this is the last year for Derek Carr.
Offensively, they'll be really good. Defensively, I don't know.
And I think the Ravens take that final step. I think they take it all the way to the Super Bowl. And I think Lamar Jackson gets it done.
More Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's no other place you'd rather be. Monday Night Football, all eyes on you.
It's Carr for me.
Lamar Jackson is such a special player.
Raiders fans, their prayers have been answered because Derek Carr is taking risks. He is airing the ball out.
Touchdown, Hollywood Brown!
Carr is going for the home run ball. Got a man open. It's Ruggs. There he is, Ruggs.
Monday. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Monday Night Football Megacast tonight, Ravens at Raiders. Coverage on ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, and the ESPN app. Excuse me, let me say that in English. ESPN app. Louis Riddick will be part of that Megacast on ESPN. Where is Louis?
Still getting used to that 4 hours of talking to Max.
You know what it is? It's the game is on late. And every, so far, Sunday night and Monday night, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to watch the first half.
I got to teach you.
Then I'm going to have to go to sleep. But
how are you going to watch Laker games when they start at 10:30 West Coast time? East Coast time.
I know you got little ones, but I got to teach you how to get home. Rest up after your show at 2 to 3, but in between this show and 2 to 3, you gotta steal you an hour. You gotta figure it out.
See, I'm thinking I'm gonna work out in that time.
You gotta figure it out.
Shower, come back, and then I try to sleep after the show.
No, you get that hour in.
So when do you work out?
Hold on, you get your hour in. Then after that 2 to 3, you wake back up after your nap for a couple hours to get that workout in. Then you're rested. Now you can carry it into the late night. Before you go to sleep for this show.
Keyshawn Johnson, morning radio life coach.
Yes.
Louis Riddick, football analyst extraordinaire, here for the Monday Night Football preview, which is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Louis, what do you expect? There he is. Louis, what do you expect just from the crowd tonight in the first game ever for fans in Las Vegas?
Yeah, Max, I'll tell you what. We asked John Harbaugh that. 2 days ago when we talked to him Saturday night. And, you know, we expected the coaches to say, well, you know, we kind of, you know, whatever. It's just going to be some fans there. You know, we got to concentrate, blah, blah, blah. He said he thinks it'll be probably the most electric atmosphere he's ever been around. And I think we're expecting that too, because there are a ton, and I mean a ton of people in Vegas. Now, there's always people around Vegas, I'm sure. But there are people flying in. There have been people flying in all weekend wearing Raider gear on the street. And there's a lot of emotion for this game because of, you know, how Raider fans travel. You know that people who are out here in Vegas are kind of living it up and being crazy anyway. And with no professional football fans having ever been in this stadium, and you see what the atmosphere looked like in the college games that have been played in that stadium. The teams are prepared. Derek Carr said yesterday that he's prepared for it to be something where they have to adjust in a big way to how things were last year, which was like having a high school practice. And they're prepared to have that kind of emotion overwhelm them early on and then having to adjust to it in the amount of noise as the game wears on. So that's pretty darn exciting, actually.
Yeah, it's basically, Louis, as you know, being an ex-Raider, it's basically Oakland, Las Vegas, San Diego, yeah. L.A., all Arizona, yep. All that rolled into one because it's 45 minutes on a flight, not less than 45 minutes on a flight from any of those areas in 5 hours in a car. So you know it's going to be crazy. Louis, what will happen tonight with all the injuries in the backfield for the Ravens? What are they going to do in the running game?
Yeah, look, they have this young cat named Tyson Williams who was on their practice squad last year, all year long, who, I'll tell you what, Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, said last year, you know, they had an inter-squad scrimmage before, you know, during training camp at the stadium. And obviously no one's there because, you know, no one's allowed to come to watch those practices or anything like that. But he said he left out of there that night saying Tyson Williams, when he gets his chance, they were so heavy at running back and they wound up putting him on practice squad. He said, when he gets his chance, this guy's going to shock some people because he's 6 foot, 225 pounds. He's fast, shifty, catches the ball well, smart, will block. That's the guy who, other than Lamar, I mean, obviously Lamar is going to get his opportunities. I mean, he's going to have to be big. He knows that, and that's a given. Everybody knows that. But this kid, number 34, watch him because he's going to get a ton of opportunity, a ton. And he could be, Keyshawn, he could be that next running back who kind of comes out of nowhere, and then people start that argument about running backs again where it's like, hey, you don't ever need to really panic about running back because if you have a good scouting department, you can find one. It's kind of like yesterday when you watched the 49ers play. How many people really, if you didn't follow the draft, knew who Elijah Mitchell was for the 49ers? This guy, now Elijah Mitchell, is probably going to be their lead back all year long. He's a sixth-round pick. And people go, well, how the heck did they find him? That's what happens at running back. Tyson Williams could be that next guy because he's going to get fed a lot tonight, and they're going to see if he's going to respond to that opportunity. Mm.
Lewis, Coach Gruden, 19-29, his record as a Raiders head coach. Some people say he's on the hot seat. How would you evaluate what he's done thus far?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take it. I'll say this. I don't think John's on the hot seat. John's kind of entrenched here for the time being because of like his connection to the Raiders and his connection to Mr. Davis before his son Mark and how, you know, we all know that sometimes, you know, in a different situation, maybe you wouldn't get the kind of leeway in terms of not making the playoffs that he's gotten. All right. So let's just be honest about that. Now, what am I expecting from this football team? What are the expectations for this football team? I think from all of us who analyze it and really from the rest of the people who really watch pro football closely, they need to make the playoffs this year. They really do. Otherwise, you're going to have people – like the discussion is going to have to be had. Like, how is he not being held accountable to the degree that other people would if they hadn't made the playoffs after 4 years of being at a place and having been given everything in terms of allowing to reshape the roster, allocate the money however he wanted to allocate it, pick whatever players that he wanted to pick, have a brand new stadium, all kinds of excitement surrounding the football team. So I think, yeah, they don't come out of the gates hot tonight. And let me say this in particular. I think the offense will play great. I think there'll be a 21, 24, 26-point average per game type of offense. It's the defense. It's Gus Bradley. It's all these new players that they have on the defensive side of the ball. It's Yannick Ngakoue. It's, you know, Max Crosby, who's been there. It's those kind of guys. It's Denzel Perriman, who they just acquired from the Chargers. It's K.J. Wright, who was with Gus Bradley in Seattle. How are those guys going to take this defense from being the kind that constantly blew leads a year ago to being the kind of defense that can shut things down when the game is on the line and get them out of here with the W? Because if they don't do that, and it's another repeat of what it was last year, we're going to be talking about this over and over and over again with John. Like, how many years can you be allowed to be, you know, subpar and not make it to the playoffs?
Yeah, no question. And we talk about John being pushed out. Derek Carr seems like – and you tell me this, Lewis, because you cover Monday Night Football, you've scouted, you've seen it. Why am I the only fool on the bridge ready to dive into the East River for Derek Carr? As soon as I say Derek Carr is one of the top guys in the National Football League, everybody looks at me like I got frogs on my face. Why is that?
Yeah, man. Hey, don't worry. I'm ready to dive in the river with you. All right? I've always been a big fan of Derek Carr. Big. Because you know what? See, when he came out of Fresno, he had this reputation or like whatever. People tried to label him as a guy who couldn't handle the blitz, caved under pressure, has a good athletic ability, but he doesn't make those special off-schedule plays like you see now some of the, you know, real good athletic quarterbacks making. He can't make something out of nothing. And you know what? I think that one thing right there, Keyshawn, is something that they've tried to emphasize to him, saying this. We know, you know, taking care of football is great, and he does a great job of that. He does a great job of making decisions, but sometimes just let it go, man. Sometimes you're going to have to just take a chance
your wide receivers a shot. We'll live with whatever happens. But go ahead and do that to take your game to a whole nother level, because you know he's one of the smartest quarterbacks. I would say of all the quarterbacks I've ever talked to, he's in the top three or four as far as understanding this offense to the degree where John – he said, look, John will give him four or five different plays at a time in the huddle and just say, look, you pick the best one based on the look. Four or five different ones. And he says that he knows exactly what he's supposed to do at all times. He said he could teach this offense the way John teaches this offense. And he has great accuracy, great arm strength, and he has the respect of this team. But, you know, he's in a division now with Patrick Mahomes. He's in a division. He's playing at a time now where quarterbacks are putting up 4,500, 4,800 type, you know, passing yard seasons like they're just playing a video game. And they need to win. Lou, he knows that. He needs to win.
But, Lou, he put up three straight 4,000-yard seasons under John so far. I don't know.
You're right.
Lewis, we're up against it. We're up against it, and I don't know what you're doing here anyway. Go get the Giants GM job, please, so you can fix the offensive line. It's killing me.
Lewis just now coming in.
Oh, my God. They were bad, weren't they, Matt?
Yes, they were. And yeah. Let me see. Gettleman's had the job now in year four. I wonder if Lewis Riddick was in year four of the Giants GM job, what the offensive line was.
Yeah,
that's a story
that,
for another
people
day.
People get all upset about that.
That's
stuff,
a story for another day. I'm not talking about anything, Lewis. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot, Lou.
That's
you
the great
it,
Lewis Riddick
okay,
on
guys.
The Goodyear Hotline. The Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. And we've got our results. House money.
Yes.
Plus, what was Key thinking when he tweeted about his alma mater? That's after Key has this from Vivid Seats.
15 more minutes, Max. You'll be okay. Football season is back. Baseball playoffs are right around the corner. And the best of all, the Safe Return live events means you can actually be there to see all the action with Vivid Seats. From seats on the 50-yard line to the bird's eye view to parking passes being there, is all that matters. And get this, with Vivid Seats Rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Every year we decide that this is the last year for Derek Carr.
Offensively, they'll be really good. Defensively, I don't know.
And I think the Ravens take that final step. I think they take it all the way to the Super Bowl. And I think Lamar Jackson gets it done.
More Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Is brought to you by Indeed. Odds are you're hiring to free up time, not lose more. With Indeed, you get the platform that delivers 4 times more hires than all other sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Post a job and say you're hired. Visit Indeed.com/credit. We had our house money bets on Thursday and Friday.
Not good for me.
Evan, how'd we do?
I did great.
So not surprising, the guy who admitted on the show he knows nothing about gambling did really well.
Always happens that first time you go to Vegas, Evan, you know?
Yeah, that's how they bring you back, you know? That's how they built all those casinos and now that giant Roomba. Yeah. So Key is currently in the lead. Key bet bet big on the Rams over the Bears. It was a risky pick. $40 he bet to win 10. He went 3-0, though. He took money line on the Saints to beat the Packers. That was a big payout.
That was, yeah.
And then he bet money line Steelers to beat the Bills, and that was a big payout.
By the way, those are two gutsy picks.
Yeah. So Keith at 100. We all started.
Why did you go money line when they were – you took the underdog. You could have made money.
He was taking money line everything.
I'm going safe.
Right.
No risk.
Okay.
All right.
That's the problem with you people.
Well, no, I did money line too, but because I was taking all favorites.
What's that supposed to mean?
So he is currently at $126.80. That is the lead.
$126.80. Okay. So you made $26.80.
Yes.
Not bad.
Right. Yep, on three bets.
Yeah,
Joe Fortenbaugh, our friend from Daily Wager, he was a little more cautious with his bets. So he bet $5.50 to win $5.
See, that's a bad bet.
With the Rams and the Bears. So he was at 105, and then he lost 330. Hmm. So he's at 102.70. He's in second place.
How do you lose to 330?
He bet 330 on Washington football team plus one.
Uh-huh.
So that was a he lost that bet because they lost. They didn't cover.
People like Washington.
They lost 330. Max, you are at $100.58.
Make money.
You won on the Rams, but you lost on the Bills and the Giants.
58 cents. Go ahead. Yes. I'm up 58 cents.
You
not
just
bad.
Want to stay in the black. You just want to hang around. It's kind of
like
the
way,
Tiger at
Evan,
the Masters. You want to be in the hunt going into the final round.
I looked up what I could get for 58 cents nowadays. I looked up on Amazon. I could get Apple Barrel acrylic paint in assorted colors, a 2-ounce bottle for 54 cents. I have 4 cents left over. Do they still have quarter water at the delis anywhere? Like, I could get two of those, have 8 cents left over. I'm in the money.
And then Jay, unfortunately, had some bad beats. Jay, 92.89 you're at after losing $10 on the Tennessee Titans, and then losing five on the Bills over the Steelers, but you won $7.89 on the Rams over the Bears. So that's house money, and we'll do it every week.
Yeah,
$8.
Keith,
what were you thinking?
Oh no, $7.11.
Huh?
I already have a problem.
I've been getting
questions
all morning from the bosses. Mm-hmm. What were you thinking on your tweet?
On which tweet?
About USC. What were you thinking? I've been getting questions about it all morning from the bosses. You have a minute to explain yourself.
Well, first of all, when I put that tweet out, we were getting smashed, and I was probably a bottle and a half in on the tequila.
So you already said we were getting smashed. Go ahead.
Yeah. So
everyone was getting smashed.
And I was sitting there with some very powerful friends of mine at alums at USC, and we're sitting in my living room, and I just said that, I'm pissed, and I no longer can fight for him. Yes, I fought for him when he was hired in the beginning. I jumped on the table for him because at that time I felt like he was the guy that can get us where we needed to. We ran out of time now. Now I'm like, come on, man.
That's all right. Once you thought you should hire him, you have to always think he's
No. I like him. Nice guy. You know, when you start off saying, I like him. He's a nice guy. There's always a but.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at.
But gets hot because you're on the hot seat is what it is.
Yeah, he won't be coming on our show.
Hey, man. No, coach will come on. He'll still come on.
Yeah.
And, he doesn't have a problem. He understands he's under the fire.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by Mako. When life throws you uh-ohs, just say better get Mako and head to Mako.com to get an online estimate today.
Where's Kiffin?
Greeny's next. We'll be back tomorrow. ESPN Radio.
Proof.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.